titled, Who Touched Me? Who Touched Me? But I want to start off with a little story here. There once was a man driving along the road, and he was involved in a terrible accident with another car that was towing a horse float. A few months later, he tried to claim damages for these injuries, but the insurance company, the lawyer, questioned his claim and said, "How can you now claim to have all these injuries after all these months?" According to the police report at the time of the accident, you said you were not hurt. And the man said, "Well, it's like this. I was lying in the road in a lot of pain, suffering, tremendous pain. And I heard someone say that the horse had a broken leg. The next thing I knew, the police officer pulled out his gun and he shot the horse. Then someone looked at me and asked me, 'Are you okay?' 'Yes, of course, I'm just doing fine.'" I think I'd say the same thing if I saw him just shoot the horse, right? You know, there's a lot of people that are floating around this world who say that they're okay. But underneath all the smiles and even the laughter and even the "I'm doing just fine," there is an amazing, a huge amount of hurt there. A lot. In today's Torah parsha, the portion from the Torah today is known as Shelach Lecha. And it covers from Numbers 13, verse 1, all the way through chapter 15, verse 41. But in this portion, seemingly out of place, we see a very peculiar section dealing with tassels or fringes, or in Hebrew we say the tzitzit. And let's look at that portion for a second from Numbers chapter 15, starting at verse 37 through verse 41. Numbers 15, 37 through 41. And this is what we read. This is from the TLV. "And Adonai spoke to Moshe, saying, 'Speak to Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, and say to them that they are to make for themselves tzitzit on the corners of their garments throughout the generations.'" Here we have a tzitzit on the corner of the garment. This is a tzitzit. And it says here, "And they are to put a blue cord on each tzitzit." Now, I don't have one with a blue cord with me. I forgot I had it in, two of them in my drawer I was going to bring to show you. Who has a blue one? Bob, come up here. Okay. You can show everyone. We have a blue cord and a tzitzit. Okay, thank you. "It will be your own tzitzit. So wherever you look, or whenever you look at them, whenever we look at these right here, you will remember all the mitzvot, all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and not go spying out after your own hearts and after your own eyes, prostituting yourselves. This way you will remember and obey all my mitzvot, my commandments, and you will be holy to the Lord your God. I am Adonai your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God." To be your God. He wants to be our God. "I am Adonai your God." So the reason and purpose of this tzitzit, and it was on the four corners, on the front and the sides and the back, four corners here, so that the Lord said, whenever you see these fringes, these tassels, that we are reminded of God and His commandment, so that we don't forget to obey all those commandments. Now, many of us, when we wear this, the gentlemen who wear these, when they see them, they're not just for design, for ornament, but they're a lesson for each and every one of you. Whenever you look down and you see it, you're supposed to say, yes, Lord. Yes, I will be faithful. I will keep your commandments. I will follow you. This is a reminder for us to follow the Lord and keep all of his commandments. Today, we're going to move forward several years to the time of Yeshua. And I want to look at Yeshua and the power that radiated from him. When someone who was hurting, someone who was suffering, came to him and reached out and touched the tzitzit, touched these tassels, touched these fringes here. In the good news of Yeshua, there are three parallel accounts, similar accounts of a woman who had a bleeding problem. Some version says who had an issue of blood. But this was a woman who was suffering constantly with bleeding in her body. Now I want to read the three portions of Scripture, one from Matthew, one from Mark, and one from Luke. Interestingly, Matthew, which is considered the most Jewish of the Gospels, of the Synoptic Gospels, believed to be written originally in the Hebrew, has the smallest little portion about this. And then the book of Luke, which was written by Luke, who was not considered to be Jewish, has a larger portion. But then in the middle, Mark, and Mark is actually considered the first scripture, the first gospel ever written. And the other ones borrowed from that. And Mark was not even written for the Jewish people. It was written for the other nations. And then this Mark, which is the smallest, actually, of the three books, has the largest portion of it. In Matthew 9, starting in verse 20, it says, "Just then a woman, losing blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the tzitzit of his garment. And she kept saying to herself, 'If I only touch his garment, I will be healed.' But then Yeshua turned and he saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said, 'your faith has made you well.' And that very hour, the woman was healed." Let me just stop there before I read Mark. Yeshua, as we know, he was Jewish. He was raised Jewish. We see that on the eighth day, he went through a Brit Milah. He had a circumcision ceremony. He was raised understanding the faith of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets and all. As a Jewish man, he would have been wearing tzitzit on him. No doubt about that. He was obedient in the commandments to the law in every regard. So he would have been wearing these. So what better thing for someone to see standing out? If you were reaching out to him and you wanted to be healed, well, these things are, and it's not so much like we see today, but there were more, like they were on his garments with a little piece hanging out. It stood out so obvious to see that if you wanted to connect with that person, you would reach out and touch this. You would connect with him and who he represents and what this represents, the commandments, God's Torah, all that God wants us to keep. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, we read, "And there was a woman with a blood flow for 12 years who had suffered much under many doctors." Here we learn now she had been to all these doctors. "She had spent all that she had." Again, more information now. all of her money, all of her resources, everything, because she desired to be healed. She was suffering so greatly for these 12 years. But instead, she grew worse. But when she heard about Yeshua, she came through the cloud, or through the crowd from behind. She probably had to push through all these people, hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands, surrounding him. She was determined. She was pushing in. And she came through all that crowd and touched his garment. For she kept saying, can you imagine her saying, if I can only touch it, 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 I will be healed. I will be, I shall be healed. If I can only get close enough, if I can only reach out, if I can only touch it, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. And right away, the blood flow stopped. Instantaneous miracle. Wow. And at once, Yeshua, knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, he felt there was power, this like electricity that just flowed from his body. Power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples responded, you see. They probably said, Master, you see all this crowd around you, all these people around you, they're pressing against you, and you say, who touched you? Who touched me? But he kept looking around to see who had done this. But this woman, by this time she was all scared and she was shaking, but she knew what had happened to her. She knew that power had touched her. God had touched her. She came and she fell down at the feet before him and she told him the whole truth, what happened. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in shalom and be healed from your disease. Wow. Can you just even visualize that? Would you have done that? Would you have had that faith to push through the crowds to reach out and grab his tzitzit and be healed? In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, we read, Luke 8, 43. This is the last account of it, being told from three different points of view. And there was a woman with a blood flow for 12 years who could not be healed by anyone. She came up from behind and touched the tzitzit of Yeshua's garment. You know, and I love one aspect of both the Tree of Life scriptures and the complete Jewish Bible is that it says tzitzit in it. No mistake. It was the tzitzit that they were touching. Immediately, her blood flow stopped and Yeshua said, who touched me? When everyone denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds are surrounding you and they're all pressing in all around you. But Yeshua said, someone touched me. For I recognize power going out from me. Then seeing that she did not escape notice, the woman came trembling. Now it gives us a little bit more. She was trembling. She fell prostrate. She fell down on her face before him. And in the presence of all the people, she confessed why she had touched him and how she had been immediately, miraculously, supernaturally healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in shalom. You know, Yeshua asked this very strange question, it seems. Who touched me? You know, the answer was simple. Probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people had touched him. All around him, everyone was hanging around him and bumping into him and trying to get to him. Hundreds and hundreds of people in the last hour probably bumped in Yeshua in that big crowd of people. But Yeshua was persistent here. There was someone who deliberately touched him. deliberately for a purpose. And he said, I know that power has gone out from me, said Yeshua. And Yeshua was right. In that crowd was someone who was really hurting, someone who was really suffering, someone who needed hope, someone who needed God's touch, healing. There was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. This likely would have been a constant, it was more like a menstrual bleeding, the monthly bleeding, but not just having it on a monthly. She was just non-stop bleeding. It never stopped for 12 years. Can you imagine? She was so weak. She was so sick. She probably had, from the loss of blood, iron deficiencies, and all sorts of issues and problems and medical conditions from this. She probably was very frail, maybe even close to dying. Can you imagine the difficult situation she was in? Embarrassed. I mean the embarrassment. The limitations of her life. The annoyance, it was all there. But it was even worse in the culture of that day. Think about this, it was the Jewish culture. When a woman was bleeding, having her monthly menstrual cycle, they were considered unclean. The women were unclean. They were not permitted to participate in any services, synagogue services, temple rituals at all. They weren't permitted to have intimate relations with their husbands. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years, and Mark said she spent all of her money on doctors trying to get the problem fixed, but it just got worse. But things got worse than this because she was considered unclean. If anyone even touched her, they would too be considered unclean and be forced to go through cleansing rituals before being allowed to worship again. So not only did this woman have to put up with the bleeding for 12 years, she was also socially isolated from everybody. She was an outcast, like a leper. Her husband couldn't even go near her. She was as good as barren because she was not permitted to have relations, sexual relations, so she couldn't have children. And she was cut off spiritually from the temple and from her faith and from her people and God's word. She was embarrassed. She was rejected. She was isolated. She was ostracized. And at that very end of her strength and life, for all intents and purpose, people, she was as good as dead. She was as good as dead. She had no hope left. You know, many of us approach God in the same way that this woman did. We don't think that God would be interested in our problems. Minor problems, major problems, that just God wouldn't be interested. We don't think that we're important enough to bother God with our problems. We think that God is too busy sorting out all the issues and all the problems of the world. Just look at the world today. Volcanoes in Hawaii and Guatemala. Famine in Sudan and Ethiopia and other places. Tsunamis. Hurricanes, typhoons, everything. Certainly God is busy, right? God has so many things He's got to be doing. Why would He take the time or the care to think about me at all, my problems? But this story shows that God is concerned about all of our concerns and about all of our minor hurts. It doesn't matter how big we think they are. They're a concern to us, and that makes it a concern to Yeshua, because Yeshua cares about us. Now, if Yeshua stop to help this nameless woman. Scriptures never give a name for her, but she's known throughout history, isn't she? This woman. If Yeshua stopped to help this nameless woman with an embarrassing problem, which definitely wasn't life-threatening, He will stop to help you also. So Yeshua stopped and he asked, who touched him? Who touched me? Who touched me? The woman, realizing that she had been noticed, had been found out, she came forward. Again, she was trembling. And she probably thought, what is Yeshua going to say to me? Would he reprimand her? Woman, you know you're unclean. How dare you touch my body, my clothes? You unclean woman. She feared that. Would he reverse the healing? And you don't deserve healing. You're disobedient to the law. No, Yeshua speaks with love and he speaks with compassion. He calls her daughter. My daughter. And that's more than just, you know, by saying you're my daughter or you're my son, that's special. That's a relationship. A father and daughter, father and son, the relationship there, the bond that's there. That's special. My daughter, my daughter. But why did Yeshua expose her? I'm sure he knew what had happened. Why did he have to make it public? And there's a couple, three things I want to cover. Why did he make it public? Number one, he wanted to establish a relationship, not just perform a nameless act. Yeshua doesn't just want to heal you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to have relationship with you. It's important for us to get to know Yeshua as our friend. Do you know Yeshua as your friend? What a friend we have in Yeshua. What a friend we have in Yeshua. It's even more important than healing that we have that relationship with Yeshua. You may never be healed, but that relationship with Yeshua where he calls us friend, son, and daughter. That's more important to have that relationship with God. Secondly, he wanted her faith to be in a person and not in his garment. Not necessarily in the tzitzit. Her action in reaching out here, reaching out for the tzitzit, this was not the source of healing for her bloody body. The tzitzit did not heal her. This is not some magical thing, some supernatural, some superstitional thing. This is not. This is only representing God's word and his commandments. She was reaching out to Yeshua. She was reaching out to him to touch him. And this was there ready for her to grab, and ready for her to touch. Yeshua wanted her to know that he had healed her, not the garment, not the tzitzit. He, by his power that went forth from him, had brought healing to her. And Yeshua wants us to know that things like rosary beads or holy water or even handkerchiefs prayed over by a minister or anything else we care to use doesn't have the power. It is Yeshua alone who has the power to heal. Yeshua alone has the power to heal. And in that name is healing. I remember years ago watching on TV, I'm going to say the name because it was public on TV, Robert Tilton. And he's still in ministry. He had been taking Plaster Paris. You know what, Plaster Paris, when I was a kid, in school we used to make things with Plaster Paris. And it was on the ground, and it was wet. And he'd step into it with one foot and the other foot. And then it would dry, and it would be a cast of his feet. And he was selling on his television network for a donation of, I don't remember what it was, like a $1,000 donation to Bob Tilton Ministries. I will send you this plaster pair, this mantle, that I have stepped into this mantle and my power and my authority is upon this. and you donate and we'll send you this. And when you step into it, the power and authority that I have, the mantle that I have, will come upon you and power will enter you. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. Unbelievable. Later on, he was totally defrocked as the federal authorities found his people, all the letters people would send in for healing and prayer. They found them all in a dumpster. His people just opened them up, took out the checks, and threw everything out. A dumpster full of prayer requests. People, the power is in Yeshua. That's the only place you find the power. Thirdly, he wanted everyone to know that she had been physically healed completely. Why? So that she could be completely... Let me start there. He wanted everyone to know that she had been physically healed so that they could see that she had been completely restored. So that she could enter social life again. That she could be part of her family. That she could celebrate with her family. That she could be part of synagogue services again and temple worship. And you know, Yeshua also wants us to be completely healed. He does. Healed from the physical. Healed from the emotional. Healed from every spiritual hurt that you're carrying within you. And so this woman went away healed from all her hurt. Not just physically, spiritually. In every way she was restored. Socially. Now she could love her husband again and he could love her. Now she could go to the temple and worship God. God had restored her. The woman he healed probably got other sicknesses and colds and everything again. And you know, until Yeshua comes, death and pain and suffering on this earth will continue. And unfortunately, the scriptures say it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse the closer we come to Yeshua's coming. What this account shows is that Yeshua does care for us. And he's interested in helping us in situations that hurt us. You know, sometimes we'll see miracles happen. And good things come from suffering. But other times, we will not see anything that we think is good. But that doesn't mean that God's not there helping us through it. Because in the midst of suffering, God is there with us, helping us. We might not receive the healing, but God is there with us, and he's teaching us through this whole thing. And who knows how God can use you to be able to reach someone else's life. God can and does bring good out of horrible situations. And that's the present hope that we have. But you know, we also have a future hope. There will be one day coming when Yeshua will create a new heaven. And he's going to create a new earth. And listen, people, all pain and all suffering is going to end. And we will literally be in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Until that time, however, there are some things that we can take away from this story, from this account, which will help us deal with our hurts here and now. Number one, Yeshua is concerned about your pain and hurt. It's not the way he meant it to be, and he wants to bring healing to your life. Secondly, don't let others dissuade you from approaching Yeshua for help. Don't let people talk you out of it. And don't be embarrassed. The woman with the issue of blood wasn't scared of what friends, family, or religious leaders thought of her. Otherwise, she wouldn't have done it. She knew that Yeshua could help her, so she came to him. And Yeshua can help you too, so come to him. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Third, Yeshua is concerned about minor hurts just as much as major hurts. We don't have to feel guilty about taking all of our cares to God. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Fourth, Yeshua wants a relationship with us. This brings spiritual healing, not just physical healing. And a lot of times we need spiritual healing a lot more than we need physical healing. Fifthly, the power for healing lies in Yeshua alone, not in sacred objects or ritualistic prayers. It's in Yeshua alone. That's the hope that we have in Him, healing and restoration. Number six, Yeshua offers us complete healing. Too often we seek physical healing but forget about the complete body, mind, soul, spirit, the emotional, spiritual. We need complete healing, and He offers that to us. Yeshua wants to offer us a complete, full life. Seven, never give up on God, just trust in Him. When we think it's too late to act, God still has miracles in His bag. A little ant. The guy needs healing too. Little ant. Never give up on God. Just trust Him. When we think it's too late to act, God still can work miracles and bring good from terrible situations. Last, number eight, our ultimate hope is heaven, where Yeshua will remove all of our sorrows and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. So let me ask you, so are you hurting today? Are you hurting today? Is your family hurting? And it's my prayer that you would bring these things to Yeshua, that you would cast them upon Him because He cares for you. The burdens that many of us carry are way too heavy for us to carry. They're way too heavy. You can't carry all the pain. You can't carry all the burdens. You can't carry it all. It's just too much. It's too much. You can't do it. We need to give them to Yeshua. Everything to Him. Everything. The big, the little, the in-between, everything. We can't handle it. We need to give them to Yeshua and ask Him to carry them. Carry them for us. And let me tell you, He truly understands. Don't think that God doesn't understand. Don't think that at all. We have a God who loves us so much that He sent us Yeshua to die for us. Can you imagine what God was going through when He saw His Son upon that tree with His arms out and His legs apart and nails spiked put through His wrists and His ankles and blood pouring from Him, the pain and the suffering? That's how much God loves us. I remember when Irene and I were first going out together, madly in love, of course. She got me this little plaque. It was a picture of Yeshua. And He was upon the tree, and there was something that said, I asked Him how much He loved me. Then on the bottom it says, and He stretched out His arms and died. That's how much He loves you. Do you remember that? We gave it to somebody. I don't remember who we gave that to. I had it for years. He loves you that much. So don't be afraid to give it to Him. Don't be afraid to give your hurts, your pains, your suffering, because He truly cares. Thank You, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we are so grateful that we have such an amazing Heavenly Father. You're a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father who loves us so much You sent Your good Son Lord, we want to